The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you, who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness, the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36, the gospel lesson that was just read. The sermon title is Watch for the Signs. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when my mom and dad moved to Santa Clara Valley from San Francisco in 1960, it was not called Silicon Valley. There was only, at that time, one computer factory in San Jose. That was IBM, and that's where my dad worked. From the surrounding hills in those days, you could see that over half of the land in Santa Clara Valley was orchards. Some of those orchards were started back in the days of the Spaniards and the Mexicans. The orchards included plums, pears, prunes, apricots, nectarines, peaches, strawberries, cherries, almonds, walnuts, as well as vineyards for wine. Food processing, canning, and food packing were the biggest industries back then, with names like Mariani and Del Monte for fruit, Almaden and Palmasan for wine. And as all of you know, winter is the only time of year that it rains here in California, at least this part. Usually by March, my brother, sister, and I would get tired of being stuck in the house, and we would ask my mother, when is it going to stop raining? When is spring going to come? When can we play outside again? My mother, who is a native of San Francisco, would reply, watch for the signs of spring. Watch for the blossoms on the trees. When the spring blossoms finally did come out in the trees in the neighborhood, usually in April, the Santa Clara Valley was for up to 2 weeks bathed in pastel colors, pink, light green, light orange, light purple, light yellow, and white. Each orchard plot, being a specific type of fruit, had a different color or tint of blossoms. From the surrounding hills and from along Blossom Hill Road in the South Valley, where we would sometime drive at that time of year, it was a patchwork quilt of God's handiwork. Promotional flyers back then called it the most beautiful valley in the West, not Silicon Valley. I don't know if that was true, but that time of year was a sure sign that spring and warm weather had arrived. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus told his disciples something similar to what my mother told us. Watch for the signs of my kingdom. Watch for the blossoms. The fruit tree that his disciples knew best there was the fig, a common sight in the Mediterranean climate. In verses 29 to 31, Jesus said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. The words, you see and know for yourselves, means that the disciples didn't have to consult with meteorologists or the astronomers of the day. They didn't need to consult a published calendar or almanac. They just waited for the fig tree to bud, and then they knew that summer had arrived. To what was Jesus comparing the arrival of summer? His own second coming. To what was Jesus comparing the budding fig trees? The signs of his second coming. And the signs would be in the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens, the seas, and the distress of the peoples on the earth. Those were the signs. Now, this is a very interesting comparison because most of the time we think of the end of the world in destructive or apocalyptic terms. But Jesus compared, excuse me, Jesus compared the signs of his coming to the beauty of blossoming trees. Completely different picture, completely different emotion. This means that Jesus intends the signs of his coming to be comforting to believers, even though the very same signs are ominous for unbelievers. How could signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens, and the seas be beautiful or comforting? Well, have you ever seen a rainbow? It's a sign in the heavens, and it's beautiful. Have you ever seen an aurora? I have not, but the people up north who see their shimmering colors say they are among the most beautiful things that they have seen on earth. And that's a sign, or at least up there in the heavens. Have you seen the pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope or the recently deployed James Webb Space Telescope? They have taken color pictures of some of the most beautiful things in the heavens: planets, nebulas of many types, galaxies, stars, star clusters, and the Milky Way. Those things all display God's handiwork as an artist and of his love for you, which he expressed at the original creation of the first earth and the first heavens. When Jesus returns to earth at his second coming, God will again be at work as an artist and a creator. He will use on his palette clouds of ice, balls of clay, colored rocks, globs of lava, shimmering plaza, and fiery stars to create the new heaven and the new earth. The colors, patterns, and shapes will be beautiful and fantastic, but it will also be horrific to unbelievers, because then they will know that their relatively little world called the earth will soon be gone, and that all the promises about the end times in the Bible are true. Some Christians ignore this teaching of Jesus about the signs of the end. Many of them want Jesus to come back and establish his kingdom on earth in a physical way here prior to the end of the world. This is the basic idea behind the various doctrines of premillennialism, which doctrines the Lutheran Church clearly rejected in Article 17 of the Augsburg Confession. A recent example of a premillennialist who ignored Jesus' teaching in our gospel about the sign of the end times is the Reverend Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, now deceased as of 2013. Calvary Chapel is now a modern megachurch association with many Calvary chapels around the country. The founding of Calvary Chapel is depicted in the 2023 film Jesus Revolution, with Smith being portrayed by Kelsey Grammer. In his 1978 book, End Times, Smith incorrectly predicted that the generation of 1948 would be the last generation, and that the world would end by 1981 at the latest. 1981? Where were you in 1981? I met my wife that year. It's very memorable for me. The world was supposed to end. Calvary Chapel, if you remember this, held a New Year's Eve service in 1981 on New Year's Eve for their followers to wait for the end to occur in accordance with Smith's prediction. When the world failed to end, many disillusioned followers left the Calvary Chapel movement. But many stayed, so that today the association numbers 1,800 congregations around the world, all based on a false prediction of the end times. Now, unbelievers scoff at Christians for their belief in Jesus' second coming. Up until his return, those who continue in their unbelief will refuse to believe that God will bring this little world to an end. When Jesus does return, they will stare in unbelief and stark horror. And this is the distress of nations that Jesus mentions in verse 25, also where he says men's heart failing with fear, which he describes in verse 26. So there are Jesus' disciples who heard what he said. There are Christians who don't want to believe that. They want him to come and establish a kingdom. And then there's unbelievers who don't believe any of it. But what about you? Will the recreation of this earth and the heavens be horrifying to you? Or will it comfort you and gladden your hearts, just as blossoms do in the spring? What about you? So Jesus gives you important words of counsel. In verse 34, he said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and the day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." Jesus' return will catch all unbelievers right in the middle of their unbelief, along with their carousing and drunkenness and fixation on the cares of this life, and they'll have no chance to repent or change their mind. It will be too late. But Jesus' return shouldn't catch you off guard. You are believers. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You believe Jesus' words, but you know it's easy to get distracted. And this is what Jesus is warning you about. Don't get distracted by a constant craving for pleasure. Don't get distracted by worries about politics and foreign wars, the economy, the stock market, your job, or the countless things that you want to do every day. Don't get distracted by arguments or grudges against your spouse, your coworkers, or family members. Don't get distracted because all those things will soon pass away. Keep your hopes and dreams fixed not on this world, but on the beautiful world to come that will be filled with fantastic sights, the angels, the saints, and with Jesus. Watch for the signs that Jesus predicted, the signs in the heavens, the seas, and on earth. When the signs that Jesus predicted appear, you will know that the eternal spring and summer is here. In our Savior's name, amen.